look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, it is July 4th, and we're going to look through that window of baseball. I'd like to be sitting at that counter with Bruce Jenkins right now. Bruce, how are you?
Good. Happy 4th, Marty.
Yeah, same to you. You know, it's one of those markers of a baseball season. It's hard to believe we've gotten there. It seemed like we've gotten here quickly, but it is one of those days you take a look at the standings and see where you are.
Yeah, it's more of a marker than the All-Star break, because it's closer to the, you know, the halfway point. Teams have played the 81 games plus, and you know, there's it really does sort of paint a picture of what you're going to be seeing. I think, you know, in the Giants' case, I don't think fans could be any more happy than they are about what's going on. 3.5 back, Arizona and LA have proven to be just as vulnerable as the Giants, and you know, I was just thinking last night. You're talking about the surplus of Giant starters. It's kind of like spring training. You know what? Well, geez, you got a battle here and a battle there, and things tend to sort themselves out and make sense just on their own. And I think, you know, Stratton certainly has a future with the team, but the way he pitched last night and the way the other guys are throwing the ball, Suarez and Rodriguez, it just seems to make sense that Stratton will join Holland in the bullpen. Cueto and Samardzija come back, and there you go.
Yeah, so here we go. I mean, you know, I always say, and I really think it goes to form. You know, the first couple of months, you kind of, you know, who knows what's happening. Things are going all over the place. Then in June, you kind of fine-tune it. And in July, you go out and get what you want. Now, we're doing June now for the Giants.
Yeah.
And really, it's going to take a few weeks, but it's going to take – they're pushing them back in this rotation now so they can figure out who they are and figure out where they're going to be July 31st.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in some ways, if Cueto and Samardzija are indeed going to be healthy when they come back, they're really going to be ahead of the game. I mean, how many teams have guys in the bullpen that, you know, they could easily be starters? Maybe not world beaters, but, you know, they've got some depth in their rotation, and that's I think that's – a lot of teams are envious of that, including the teams ahead of them.
Well, and plus they're going to start building the bullpen up because, as you said, and I think Stratton is going to go to the bullpen. You know, that's the way it worked. You know, a starter got knocked around, so next thing you knew, he was in long relief for a while. And then, you know, to find himself.
Yeah, you know, and the thing was, I mean, it wasn't just the scoreboard, but, you know, he threw a couple changeups that really had no sink to him at all, and he got burned on the Blackman home run. And I think Arenado got a changeup, too, on that three-run homer. And the fastball was pretty straight. So, I mean, you know, his stuff has taken a bit of a hit. So that's sometimes you go out in the bullpen and work those things out.
So today we get Andrew Suarez, the unassuming young man from Miami of Cuban heritage and the University of Miami. He went all 4 years. He didn't sign after the third year.
Mm.
Went all 4 years. Degree, I think, in criminology. I asked him about that, and he said, I don't know. I found it interesting. All right. But he is a kid who he doesn't walk people. He strikes people out, and nothing seems to bother him. He is like a cool customer on the mound.
Yeah, you know, he gets in trouble, and you just can't wait to see how he gets out of it. And when he needs a strikeout, he's that kind of stuff. You know, he's not a big guy, but he throws, you know, around 92, 93, and he's got a real good breaking ball. But he just, more than anything, he just knows things. He knows the pitch to throw. He's got confidence in all of his pitches and on any count. And he's just a real solid character, real bright guy, and a guy who doesn't rattle very easily.
Yeah, runners in scoring position, two out there, 2 for 20 against him, which is it's a good stat. He has given up 9 home runs, and he doesn't discriminate. There are 8 of them to right-handers. So, he'll if you're a right-hander, get ready. You're going to get a pitch to hit. But, this Coors Field, Bruce, is something else. And it exposes teams that are not athletic. And I think it exposes a little bit of the Giants. Now, they should hit better, for sure. But their defense, if the ball is hit, that ball just goes so fast. You got to have range. Sandoval made a big mistake on Monday night in the Bumgarner game. He should have just gone after the ball to third and let the runner run into him. And,
yeah.
You know, and he yielded to the runner, panicked, didn't move very well, and some balls hit near him. You got Pence in the outfield. The defense, to me, is the biggest issue for the Giants there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when Longoria comes back, I think that should take care of third base. Panic, I don't think he's a defensive liability. In that park, sometimes, you know, of course, LeMahieu is, you know, playing out of his mind. So yeah. There's that. But I wouldn't worry too much about Panic. You know, Pence, I think his days are pretty much numbered in the rotation. He doesn't have the wheels he did, doesn't have the arm that he used to have, and he's still tapping grounders at the second baseman and popping up pitches down the middle that he should hit. And after a while, I think, you know, we'll see Slater, you know, in the lineup more often instead of coming off the bench.
I asked this question to Thomas Harding, Bruce Jenkins with us, of course, on this holiday as well, about Arenado. And I sort of phrase it in the terms of Helton and Larry Walker not getting enough Hall of Fame support because of the Colorado influence. You think Arenado will suffer for that when it's all said and done?
No, I think he'll go in.
Yeah.
He's the best. He might be the best player in the league. You know, I think people sometimes said that about Larry Walker. Not really Helton, as good as he was. But, you know, Arenado is probably the best defensive third baseman in the game. He's a 300 hitter. He's a power hitter. He's a character guy. He hits in the clutch. He represents the franchise as well as you possibly could. I just think his the level of respect toward him around the game. You know, it's funny. I think when you watch Larry Walker, maybe you didn't appreciate everything that he did so well. But in Arenado, because you know, it does matter how guys look at the time and if voters have been thinking along the lines of Hall of Fame for 15 years, they're going to vote you right in. I just think Arenado does have that level of respect from just about everybody.
I think Larry Walker was before his time.
Yeah.
If Larry Walker played today with StatCast and all the other fan graphs and all that stuff, the way he ran the bases, the way he threw the ball, he would have gotten much more play, don't you think?
Yeah, well, he was amazingly smart.
Yeah.
Everything he did, the right throw here, the right base taken, the right pitch swung on, the situation. He thought the game just brilliantly, and he had great physical tools. And, yeah, I totally agree with that.
You know, you just described Roger Maris.
Yeah, oh, very much so.
Yeah,
very great comparison.
Right. Isn't that a good comparison? Maris, of course, had the 61 homers, but you talk to Cepeda or anybody else, the smartest player they ever played with.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great arm really saved the Yanks in 62 World Series, didn't it? They didn't run on him.
No, and that and a lot of rain.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of...
Maris, you know, it was great. You know, he was in the shadow of Mantle, of course. Who wouldn't be in New York? Even when he hit 61 homers, he was in the shadow of Mantle. But when he got to St. Louis, I think there was a different level of appreciation there. Those are great fans. But let's see, Brock Flood, Maris. He was hitting third. He was hitting between Flood and Cepeda on those great Cardinal teams. And once again, looking like the MVP that he had been with the Yankees before he won the home run title.
How would you like to add Orlando Cepeda and Maris when they still could play? How about that for 67 for the Cardinals?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was the beauty of it. I mean, I can still remember that lineup. They had Brock leading off, Brock Flood, Maris Cepeda, and he had McCarver, to Mike Shannon, right. Julian Javier, and Dal Maxville. It was just and Bob Gibson on the mound. You know, on the best days, it was just a perfectly constructed lineup, and veteran guys up and down. And they really took care of some business. They were fun to watch.
Boy, the Cardinals come in next. After today, the Giants are home for a long homestand, a very telling homestand, I think, with four with the Cardinals, three with the Cubs a day off, and then three with the A's, which we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that. But the Cardinals throw all right-handers against the Giants, which they seem to be handling right-handers better. And the best news is Bob Gibson's retired.
Yeah, it's a good thing they're not going to be facing him. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that's a really good series, a really good measuring stick. And you will be getting a look at Cueto and Samardzija, you know, pitching at home in the comfort zone, but against a really good club that tends to play the game right. You know, Carpenter and Yadier Molina, those guys are just Ozuna. You know, it's a really solid team. That'll be fun. Cubs, you know, always fun. And yeah, the A's series to me is. The back-to-back weekend Bay Bridge series are extremely interesting this year.
Giants get a break here because of Chris Davis. He doesn't play, I don't think he plays defense, does he? And without having him as a DH, the Giants get a little bit of a break because he is a major part of what Oakland does.
Oh, man. Yeah, no kidding. That's a huge thing. I mean, this guy, he's a 40-homer guy, just period. They gotta sign him to an extension. Don't let that guy go, whatever you do. I mean, I don't know how much attention he really gets, but, geez, that guy's he's just a tremendous power hitter, and it's, he's found a slot in the as a DH. He did play some outfield. He's had some throwing issues, which he'd been very candid about admitting to, that he has a mental block about making a good throw, to the point where he made a whole bunch of lousy throws and could never count on himself.
Yeah.
To make a good throw before he even threw it.
Yeah.
So the DH is perfect for him. So, yeah, they'll be glad to have him when they get over to Oakland.
So Monday the Cubs come in. So here's the note today on the Cubs. The Cubs, I think they won today. They've scored 5 or more runs in 8 straight games for the first time since 2010. They'll get a chance at scoring 5-plus runs in 9 straight games for the first time since 1970 on Friday when they host the Cincinnati Reds. The Cubs have won 6 straight. All after the opponent has scored first. They're 22-22 when that happens this year, so it's the best winning percentage in baseball. Bruce, the Cubs 1970, that was a team that could play.
The 1970 Cubs?
Yeah.
With Kessinger and Beckert and Banks and Billy Williams and Randy Hundley?
Yeah, I'm testing you on that one. Very good.
Yeah, how am I doing?
Yeah, you're doing great. Very good. Very good. I wanted you to. I was going to see if you could do it. Very good.
Those are the names that come quickly to mind. Yeah. Santo. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, Glenn Beckert, of course. And
yeah, I mentioned Beckert and Kessinger, yeah, and Banks and Randy Hundley and
Billy.
The great Billy Williams. Did they have Jim Hickman? I don't know. I'm not sure if he was on that team. But.
Maybe, maybe not. But Bill Hans, I think, was still there.
Yeah, Bill Hans on the mound. Fergie Jenkins.
Fergie Jenkins as well. And yeah, amazing. The point is, we get the Cubs Monday here. Cubs Giants. I mean, this is a different century. It's a different world. But there was a time that Cubs-Giants, that was the rivalry. That was as nutty as it ever got.
You mean like in 1905?
Yeah, yeah. I know it's a long time ago, but that's when Chicago baseball really was developed, and that's when the game really took a foothold in New York as well. And it wasn't Yankees-Red Sox. It was Cubs-Giants that captivated the country.
Yeah, I used to love to go drinking with Frank Chance and the boys. Jeez, he was a hoot.
How about Evers? You didn't go, not Evers?
Yeah, Tinker, but never Evers.
Tinker didn't go out too much. He was a nice kid from Kansas City, but
yeah, Larry Doyle, Christy Mathewson, Marquard.
But that was it. Cubs.
That was the National League. That's where it was at, and we come all the way back to the fateful night when Matt Moore couldn't hold that lead, the Giants and the Cubs. That would have been sorry to bring it up, people. But that when I think Giants Cubs today, aside from looking forward to Schwarber and Baez and Rizzo and all the rest, I always come back to that game and how brutal that was.
Well, it's been a good first half, and I mean, I'll ask you this one, our last light question of the day here for the great Bruce Jenkins. Favorite baseball holiday? And I asked this to Phil Rogers earlier, and I said Memorial Day, July 4th, or Labor Day. Do you have a favorite?
I think Labor Day. I've always liked, because it's you're right in the heart of the pennant races. Of course, the first thing that comes to mind July 4th is Dave Rigetti pitching a no-hitter against the Red Sox in 83 and striking out Wade Boggs, who struck out like once a month back then. That was great. But I think just in terms of the anticipation and, the weather, even the weather here can be good. even weather at Candlestick could be good in September. I just remember a lot of not too many specifics, but just the the thrill of an extra day on the weekend. Baseball's in full stretch, and you've got football coming in too, and it's just a really terrific time of the year.
Yeah, July 4th is my favorite for other reasons. Just the excitement of the pennant race, and everyone should be in it, so to speak, around now. And so there's some happiness with it, but Joey Chestnut ruined July 4th for me because I can't think of hot dogs anymore.
Yeah, Joey chest pain. Joey heartburn.
He ate 74 today. Come on. You kidding?
Yeah, competitive dreadful.
Really?
I'm not a fan.
No.
I love my hot dogs. I'm going to have a couple tonight on the barbecue, but
right.
I'm not shooting for 19 anytime soon.
I was telling Raph the story. You eat a couple of hot dogs, that's basically it. And this guy ate 74. So that's what July 4th turned into. All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Have a great night. What are you, having the barbecue at home?
Some friends about a block away have the big 4th of July party every year, and all the neighbors go by and throw stuff on the barbecue, got
beautiful
music going, and sit in your chairs and watch the fireworks. Pretty cool.
That's the way it should be. We're in the
studio. Absolutely.
And we're in the studio doing the post game, so that's what
we'll throw coals on there anyway. The smoke won't hurt anybody.
All right. I'll tell Raf. All right. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you over the weekend.
Great. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Have a good afternoon. That is the great Bruce Jenkins. More coming up in the Sports Leader.